She is out. Nikki Haley is out, everyone. And the mainstream media is not too happy about this. In fact, they're literally in mourning. More on that in a moment. We're going to talk about how freaked out they really, really are. Plus, a few other things going on right now. Some more polls for them to be absolutely devastated about. I mean, really and truly devastated about. We're going to talk about all of that. I want to mention that you're watching The Trish Regan Show. I hope you have subscribed. If you haven't, do that right now. Subscribe, share, like, all that kind of thing. It's really important. I can't stress that enough. We got so much to get into. I mean, Hillary Clinton's even weighing in on things right now, everybody. Hillary Clinton's talking about how we just have to recognize the fact that Joe Biden is indeed old. I'm glad she's willing to admit that. I wonder, do you think that she thinks that maybe, possibly she could... She could step in again so we could have a full-on repeat of 2016. Welcome to the program. I am Trish. We're brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. LegacyPreciousMetals.com. Their number is 1-866-589-0560. If you're worried about the markets, if you're worried about inflation, you should be worried about inflation, by the way, up 18% since Joe Biden became president, then go over and give them a look. Give them a ring. You're welcome to use my name, of course. As I said, they're friends of mine, and they will take good care of you. LegacyPMInvestments.com. All right, let's get over to just how upset the media is. I mean, the media is so distraught today. I don't know what they thought was really going to happen. Did they think that somehow Nikki was going to pull a fast one, that somehow, some way, that there was a path to victory? I mean, other than Vermont and D.C., this is a woman who really did not have the ability to go the distance. I'm not sure who was talking to her. You got to wonder about that. Like, who was in Nikki Haley's ear all along saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it? I mean, I just don't know why somebody would do that to themselves. They're like either really masochistic or have such inflated egos and are such total narcissists that when that crazy person over in the corner of the room is saying, hey, you can do it, you can do it, they actually believe it. I mean, she's believing her own BS, so to speak here. So this had to have been a very humbling experience for Ms. Nikki Haley. And she's not willing to totally give up. I mean, she's out of the race. She's out of the race for good. We had a feeling that was coming when we saw there was nothing on the calendar for after Super Tuesday. But what's incredible is she's not willing. I mean, she's not willing to come forward and give the stamp of approval, as you would anticipate, for Donald Trump. I mean, heck, even Mitch McConnell's doing it. But that could be because she's trying to negotiate something for herself. Typical, typical politician. But it doesn't change the fact that the media is like just in mourning, like literally in mourning. In fact, there was one member of the media over on that wonderful show called The View that I watch so you don't have to, or at least clips of it. This woman, Sunny Houston, she's like their resident legal expert. She said she was dressed all in black for a reason today.
That's party. All that matters, nothing else.
It's party before country. I mean, I'm wearing funeral chic today because I'm so devastated over what we saw yesterday. And my question for you is, were you able to glean anything from the exit polls and get a look at the mindset of those voters that we just talked about? Because backstage we were talking about the fact that 6 in 10 of North Carolina primary voters say they consider Trump fit for the presidency, even if he's convicted of a crime. Even if he's convicted of a crime. And roughly 6 in 10 North Carolina GOP primary voters deny that Biden's 2020 election win was legitimate.
Okay. All right. So now they got themselves a problem, you see, because it seems that people really do like Donald Trump. It seems like the voters are willing to look over just about anything. And they may have to, because we just got word, breaking news, everyone, that April 25th is the day the Supreme Court is going to be hearing Donald Trump's immunity plea. So this is pretty interesting because they're going to hear this on April 25th. I mean, maybe it takes them a few weeks. Maybe it takes them 6 weeks, 4 weeks. We don't know how long until they rule on that. But whatever they rule is going to have an impact, of course, on Jack Smith and his ability to move forward on the whole insurrection thing. But there's not a lot of faith. I mean, you heard it from Sunny Houston there on The View. There's not a lot of faith for the media. They are in mourning. And so much so that Rachel Maddow was out saying some pretty pessimistic things, like we can't rely on the courts and we can't rely on Republicans, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't know, what is she anticipating that we have to rely on? Listen.
I mean, we're gonna make sure that no court can take
the courts
her.
will not save us here. The only thing that will save us here is if the what I believe is the pro-democracy supermajority in this country decides we're not only going to stand up for democracy in the abstract by saying nice things about it, we're actually going to use our democracy mm-hmm. to stop this iteration of the Republican Party from getting rid of it. The Republicans have to not be counted on to sort of do this themselves. Mm-hmm. We can all see what's happening in the Republican Party now. There was a primary, didn't work out to oust Donald Trump. There was a chance for leaders like Mitch McConnell to literally have Donald Trump barred from ever holding federal office again. They didn't do it. We saw Republicans on the courts who have lifetime tenure and are therefore protected from the kinds of blowback that other politicians might be worried about, nevertheless get in line behind their partisan patrons. The Republican Party will not save us here. We cannot wait for the Republican Party to wake up. Nothing is going to happen inside the Republican Party other than efforts to get Donald Trump what he wants, which is to get rid of our form of government. The only way the country gets saved is if Republicans are blocked by the democratic process because Democrats win instead. That's the only thing left to us.
Okay. Well, at least she's not talking total crazy stuff. At least she actually seems to be, from what I can tell, although occasionally it's doubtful with her. She seems to be saying that we just need to make sure that we win, right? Because then the actual process of the voters coming forward is a fair one. But she's saying we can't rely on anyone here. We just actually have to rely on ourselves. And therefore, we as Democrats need to win. Okay. All right. You know what, Rachel? We'll go with that. That's fair. As long as you play fair. And we know they don't play fair. We know they play dirty. And that full-on willingness to play dirty was on full display last night as we were getting these results in. And the anchors there on the MSNBC set were like hyperventilating. And so they knew where they needed to take this. They knew where they wanted to go. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is what you call hitting below the belt. It is so fake. It is so untrue. I'll tell you, every conservative I know cares passionately about their dollars and cents, cares passionately about the economy, is really upset by all the inflation that we have seen to the tune of 18% since Joe Biden came into office. And yet, Joy Reid, this MSNBC flamethrower, is out there saying some pretty horrendous, I mean beyond horrendous stuff about Republicans as a whole. So it used to be just, okay, MAGA, it used to be just Trump supporters, but now they're going full-fledged. If you are a Republican, if you are a conservative, then you are, I'll just say it. I mean, I can't, you are racist. That's what she said last night on set. Don't take my word for it. Listen to this. It's one of the most outrageous things I've heard in recent times. Disgusting.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border, the idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
Kidding me. I mean, again, how insanely irresponsible. I mean, we know that is what she is, but you see, because of what Rachel was saying, where Rachel Maddow's making it very clear, we have to win, we have to win, we have to win at all costs, no matter what, we gotta win. So now they're gonna go back to the well with the race stuff. And so now it's no longer if you support Donald Trump, it's if you are a Republican, period. Think about that. That's the dangerous point we are in, ladies and gentlemen, in America. And these I don't even know what to call them. I mean, flamethrower is being nice. But these women over there, whether it be on The View or on state TV, which is MSNBC, now consider it their job. And they will push any kind of lie they think is necessary to get their guy ahead and to make you ashamed of who you might vote for. Let me tell you. I know conservatives are concerned about the economy. I know it because, hey, all you have to do is look at these numbers. Joe Biden is out there trying to tell us something entirely different. Joe Biden thinks that somehow, oh, inflation's coming down and things are just great. And Bidenomics is working. Oh, boy. Bidenomics, yeah, really working, buddy. It's not. But let him tell you, and then we'll prove him wrong.
I love questions. I better not start the questions.
Oh no, that's a good clip, Drew. We're gonna save that for everybody because that is a very good clip. But I don't want to get to it just yet. That shows you how badly this man is declining, really, really badly. But we have some sound of Joe Biden trying to tell us that, you know what, there's no inflation in the economy, that there's, you know, that it's somehow getting better and that he's somehow been doing a great job at all this. I mean,
fair competition
is the
key to my economic vision, to build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. And it's working. Wages are up more than prices. Unemployment has reached historic lows. Families are finally getting a little breathing room.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay, families are finally getting a little breathing room. I just want to point out that rents are upwards of 20% in terms of their inflation. Mortgages, upwards of 66% higher since this guy came into office. I mean, we don't even have to talk the cost of eggs, the cost of meat. You know all that. But here, look at these numbers overall. And by the way, this was in the Washington Post, okay? So they're just, finally, somebody's calling it like it is. You know, people get so upset about the economy, and the Democrats are like, well, why? And so the Washington Post did what I've been doing for months, and they tried to explain it. And they said, the problem is, you see, wages, they've only gone up 15.3%, while inflation overall has gone up 18%. And that's just the overall number. I mean, hey, you can buy cheap clothes and some cheap goods from China, I guess. But when it comes to everything else on that list, look at that. I mean, you just see prices are going up, up, up and away. And this is why people feel so horrible right now. This is why they're not comfortable with where they are right now. It's one of the reasons why I want to just give a quick shout out for my friends over at AFP, AmericansForProsperity.org, because this group is committed to making sure that we bring inflation lower. Their values are so simpatico with mine on this front because they want to make sure that we have lower energy prices, because lower energy prices mean lower prices for everything else. I mean, think about it. If you're paying more at the gas pumps, if the truckers have to pay more to fill the trucks, then yes, those costs are going to get passed on to you, the customer. Producer prices, those are affected by things like food and energy. These costs are very cumbersome to the overall American people. And so over at Americans for Prosperity, they're trying to do what they can to fight back against this. But it means having the right people, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, the right people in Washington, D.C., which means having the right people in the Senate, having the right people in the House. And this is what AFP is working towards right now, so that we get people in there that have a clue, that we don't have the sort of Jennifer Granholms of the world that get asked, hey, what's your energy plan to bring down gas prices right after she becomes energy secretary? And then she somehow says, that's kind of funny, and laughs like a hyena. This is what happened on Bloomberg television. So we need smarter people. We need better people. AFP is committed to that. So take a look at them, everyone. AFP, AmericansForProsperity.org. I'm telling you, this inflation stuff, it's nuts. So his inflation picture, really, really bad. They know that they can't run on the economy. So then they've got this other little problem, you see. Well, a few other problems, but one of them happens to be his age. Joe Biden's age is a serious issue, and every single day it becomes more serious. He's 81 years old. He's going to be doing a State of the Union this week. I'm actually nervous for the guy. I'm like, is he going to be able to make it? Is he going to be able to do it? I mean, gosh, I mean, you look at, for example, just some of the recent events like, oh, I don't know, the border. Did you guys see him at the border? I want to show this, Drew, to everybody because they should see how feeble he is. Look at him walking. Let's just take a minute and watch Joe Biden walking there at the border. I mean, he can barely do it. It feels really uncomfortable to see this, right? Really, really uncomfortable. I mean, Hillary Clinton knows it's a problem. I'm going to get to that in a second. But before we go to it, hey, I mean, there's another one where he actually was in it doing the speech yesterday. And he kind of zoned out. It was like a Mitch McConnell moment. he started talking. He's like, oh, I probably shouldn't talk to your reporters. And then all of a sudden, he just completely blanks. Completely. It is eerie. And then at that point, I'm looking at this thinking, like, at what point does this become cruel and unusual punishment? Seriously. Seriously. Watch.
I love questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
What's going on? Seriously. I mean, this is not okay. All right, so he's 81. He'd be 86 by the time he'd leave the Oval Office if he were to actually get elected again. And so what you realize is that this election is becoming not about Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, but this is an election of Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. And that's a really tough scenario for the Democrats. I mean, indeed. So they're trying somehow, some way to kind of downplay the age thing, which makes literally no sense to me, but you know, they're willing to lie, cheat, and steal, clearly, as Rachel Maddow told us, right? Like, it's up to them. They're going to do whatever they can do. So Joe Scarborough's doing his part. He's trying to pretend like age is not an issue.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is... And I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it. And you...
Oh, okay. Lie, cheat, and steal. Do whatever you're gonna do to get the guy elected. I see. That's clearly a blatant lie. You know what? I've known him 50 years, but I met him when I was about 10. So there you go. 40 years. I mean, I don't know him like the Brzezinskis clearly must know him. But yeah, he used to come and campaign in New Hampshire, because that's how long he's been running for president, ladies and gentlemen. You think he's gonna give it up? No, now, oh, no way, no how. But let's take another look at what we were just seeing here, because I want to remind Mr. Scarborough there over on state TV of what just went down yesterday when the reporters were saying, hey, you got any nice words for Super Tuesday? And he just glazes into space. It's frightening.
I love questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, say, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
He doesn't look good. He does not look good. That does not look like somebody who is in control of all their faculties. So Hillary Clinton's going with a different tactic. She's like, okay, yeah, I know, you know, he's spacing out and he can't really walk and he falls and this, that, and the other. But she went on this little podcast, the woman I'd never heard of. I was like, who is this lovely name? Zerlina. I like that name because, you know, my opera background, and Zerlina is one of the characters in Don Giovanni. So she goes on with this Zerlina lady who's got like 8,000 followers on Twitter, who, by the way, is like killing it with these big, big guests. And she's got Kamala, she's got Elizabeth Warren, she's got Hillary Clinton. And then I figured out, oh, Zerlina is like the former director of communications for the Hillary Clinton campaign. So there you go. Anyway, she sat down with her friend, right? This is like friendly territory. You want to talk access journalism, nothing better than that. You go see Zerlina and you tell the public a new spin, a new way to think about how we should be thinking about Joe Biden. And that's the age is somehow good in this scenario. Take a peek.
And, you know, somebody the other day said to me, Zerlina, well, but, you know, Joe Biden's old. I said, you know what? Joe Biden is old. Let's go ahead and accept the reality. Joe Biden is old. So we have a contest between one candidate who's old, but who's done an effective job and doesn't threaten our democracy. Mm. And we have another candidate who is old, barely makes sense when he talks, is dangerous and threatens our democracy. So really, pick between your two old ones and figure out how you're going to save our democracy. Because no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, you want to maintain freedom and the rule of law and protection for people's fundamental rights, or at least I used to think so.
Okay. So you see what this is becoming now. It's good versus evil. They've made it very clear that if you are a Republican, you are on the side of evil and you are against somehow our government, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're on their side, well, then, you know, you've been blessed. You're part of the A team. And this is a problem, guys, because when you look at who's actually hurting America right now, I mean, think about the Trump years. Granted, you know, that was no walk in the park, COVID. And I did tell you, did I not? I'm no longer at the network I used to work at because I was so brazen in daring to tell you that they were going to politicize coronavirus as they did. And that, you know, we needed to stay open because a country needs a strong economy to fight something like that. You take care of the people you can take care of. Absolutely. And then everybody else kind of needs to also figure it out, right? You don't just keep printing money as we did. Anyway, they used that. And here we are. Here we are. So it's good versus evil somehow, according to them. But I look at it and say, look at what's been done to the actual people of America. When you think about how people have less right now, when you think about inflation, when you think about the threat of who knows what, I mean, people keep saying World War III. For goodness sakes, we got ourselves in a really bad situation vis-a-vis Russia, vis-a-vis NATO. And then you look at Gaza, you look at Israel, and of course, our border. What on earth is going on at our border? They're trying to tell you it's Republicans' fault? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, that one really, really makes no sense. And I love this because one of my former co-hosts, probably the only conservative over there at CNBC, a good guy named Joe Kernan, anchors the morning show. And he's just had a string of these lately because he called out Jennifer Granholm. It was fantastic. And now he just called out Pete Buttigieg, totally humiliated him on live television. I mean, this was fantastic. Like, this needs to happen more. These Democrats that think that they can go into these safe haven places, it's good to have smart anchors that actually know their stuff. So Joe starts asking him a little bit about the immigration thing, and he's like, I'm sick of it. Why are you Democrats trying to blame Republicans? Because that really doesn't make any sense, given that the border was just blown open, frankly, by Joe Biden. Watch Pete Buttigieg's reaction, and check out Joe.
That didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue. And only then did the Biden administration get interested in it. And every time I hear every time we hear those talking points that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border, that's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault,
that's literally not true. He got rid of family separation.
Did you see 7.2 million people come in during the Trump administration? It was a trickle.
He got rid of the policy to tear children out of the arms of their parents. That's true. But it is not true. Some of the other things that have been suggested. Let's be clear. Bipartisan efforts of border reform
have
taken place in 2015, 2006. I mean, literally since.
Okay, Pete, you keep telling yourself that, but you know, there's this little thing called the internet, and the internet has basically a catalog of everything that you Democrats have been saying, including what Joe Biden said at the debate with Trump. So let's go back to 2020, when he literally said he wanted all of these migrants to come into our border. He wanted a surge. I mean, unbelievable. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Okay, I rest my case. And Joe Kernan's for that matter. Okay, so it was very clear. And you know what? We could string together. I've played this for you in the past. There's like a zillion sound bites of the left saying, we need everybody to come. We need them to come. We need them to come. So it was like a big giant vacancy sign that they were holding up. Hey, come one, come all. I mean, Gavin Newsom's still doing it out in California because he says, hey, if you come here and you're undocumented, I'm going to give you free health care. Like he can afford it. It's $2 billion more. That's the cheap estimate. He's already $68 billion in the hole with his budget out there in California, and everybody's leaving in droves. So that makes no sense. But they're going to pretend that somehow this isn't their problem. No, it's the Republicans' problem. And I'm sorry, we know exactly whose problem it is, just like we know exactly who's contributing to inflation, exactly who's contributing to the challenging situation that we have overseas, because we have, I'm sorry, a really ragtag team running the State Department right now, who does not understand the importance, the vital importance of trying to, well, you know, keep your enemies close, as they say, right? Your friends close and your enemies closer. I mean, why would you go out there and say everything that Biden and Blinken said about NATO as soon as you come into the office, right? Why? You knew that that was going to upset Putin, and yet you did it anyway. So not a very smart team. And not a team that most Americans are willing to put any faith in right now. You look at the latest Gallup poll, what is the number one issue in America? It's immigration. Well, MSNBC anchors are making fun of you for that too. They're joking about how could anybody in Virginia be really concerned about immigration? In fact, they say, oh, you know, maybe they're just worried about the West Virginia people coming over, the snobbery, the hoitiness, the inability really to understand. I thought that the Democrat Party used to be about sort of the working class, right? Everyday Americans. Those days, let's be honest, they're completely gone. Totally, utterly gone. This is not the Democrat Party of years ago. This is an extremist group filled with a lot of, well, frankly, wealthy individuals that can be out there sort of up in the clouds because they don't have to care about the everyday issues, right? Their kids automatically get into Harvard. And then want to, you know, engage in those protests that we've seen. Meanwhile, you've got people that are the most poor that are looking for any kind of handout they can get. And you've got the wealthy. I call them, they're like the party of Marie Antoinette. Let's give them a few crumbs. Let them eat cake. And maybe they'll be happy. And then they won't bother us. But we just keep giving them these crumbs. And we never actually give anybody the chance to have a leg up. That is so fundamentally wrong. And it's not who we are as a society. But this is what we keep hearing over and over and over again. And this leftist nonsense that is so obsessed with the likes of ESG, that would be environmental social governance, and DEI, and all of these things that are going to take us, frankly, right down into the hole. I mean, it's got to stop. I'll tell you, this is one of the reasons why. I'll just give a shout out for my own little venture, which I'm super excited about. I started with a longtime friend, a wonderful, brilliant fund manager who's been on Wall Street for 25 years named Rob Horton. He and I got together and we've been talking for the last couple of years about how annoying this is. Me from the mainstream media side, I'm like, look, you know, all these networks, they have their mantras, they have their edicts, they do what they want to do. Everything's got to be so scripted, everything is so tightly wound, and everybody's got sort of a narrative that they have to follow, including in financial media, by the way. And Rob, on the other hand, is looking at it, he's like, okay, I'm a fund manager, and wait a second, okay, I want to invest in an energy company when energy prices, oil prices are low, but the ESG metrics aren't going to let me? I mean, like, that makes any sense at all. And it's what I keep saying. They're not putting the interest of the individual first and foremost. Our government isn't. Wall Street isn't. the institutions, the media institutions that are trying to deliver this news, they're not doing it. And so this is why I created 76 Research with Rob. Together, we sat down. We've got a terrific website. I encourage you to go and check it out. It's called 76 Research. And you know why I picked the 76 number. I'm pretty sure we can talk about that another day. Anyway, Rob and I created 76research.com. And it's just a terrific venue for you to go and get information. If you're hungry about investing, if you're hungry about learning about some of the best opportunities long-term for your investments, I encourage you to go here. You can subscribe to the 76 Report, where you're going to get a lot of information. I mean, a lot of information. Trust me, we've been working really hard on it. And there's a lot of writing in there. The other thing that's really value add for those of you that really want to invest, I encourage you to look at the model portfolios. You can sign up for these model portfolios. We get three of them right now. You can sign up for one or all three if you want to be part of the Founders Club. But there's ways there through the American Resilience Fund or through the inflation protected fund. That was really important to me because you know what? You got to have an inflation protected portfolio, or through the growth fund to really think about your future and what is the best path forward. So tons of free information. We have a free guide to independent investing. You can sign up for that. It's free. I encourage you to do it. But it's because I care so passionately about all of this. You look at what's going on at the border right now. Elon Musk is weighing in. Elon Musk, according to the New York Times, actually recently went down to Mar-a-Lago and had a big meeting with none other than former President Trump there at Mar-a-Lago. And they talked about a few things. Elon has gotten, I think, increasingly critical of the government. In the past, Elon's been very reluctant to be one side or the other. And I think he still sort of has that independent streak to him, which, by the way, Trump does as well. I mean, don't forget, the guy was a Democrat in New York, okay? So he's got an unusual and independent streak, and it's sort of more just anti-government and anti-bureaucracy than it is something else. And I think that he and Elon share that in common. And so Elon went and had some time with him. They met, and everybody's sort of looking and wondering. I said to a friend just a couple of weeks ago, you know, I really hope that Elon is willing to commit some cash to this thing, because you look at what Mark Zuckerberg did in 2020, and Mark, like, you know, he helped fund a lot of efforts to get absentee voting in, et cetera, et cetera. So what if Republicans had a similar avenue? I mean, whether you like it or not, and I don't like absentee ballots. I think it's stupid too. And I do actually think we should have a national holiday for voting day, because it seems like the right thing to do so people can vote. But assuming that stuff doesn't happen, look, you know what? You can't take your ball and go home. You got to play this game. And so it'd be really great if somebody passionate like Elon, who has the money, who has the capital to put maybe a few hundred million in, would actually do so. We'll see if that happens. But it would help tremendously Republicans right now who are dealing with, you know, you look at the RNC. It's one of the reasons why Rana is out, because they didn't have any money. And so they've got to get some money in order to have this grassroots campaign and really make sure that they get people registered. So Elon was down in Mar-a-Lago, and I think good things could come of that. We shall see. We shall see. But look, any way you slice it, I mean, I think he knows, we all know that we're up against it, because it's like if they win again, I don't know what's going to happen. I really, really don't know. This cancel culture is pretty scary, and a lot of other things that are going on are pretty scary. Getting back to this issue of, is Biden actually good for the country? News this week that 320,000 illegal migrants have been imported into the country and sent out on planes in the dead of the night to all of these different cities all over the country. Cities weren't even notified that these people were coming in. 320,000 of them. I mean, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't even know how that's legal. I mean, if they're using taxpayer dollars, they have this new app, you see, where you can apply for amnesty overseas. And then you come here and they say, great, they put you on a plane and off you go to Timbuktu. And maybe you show up for your trial a year, 2, 3 years, 4 years later, maybe you don't. And maybe nobody even cares. I mean, I don't know what this is about, but Elon Musk is pretty darn angry. Elon Musk is out tweeting up a firestorm. He's actually called it several different things. In one case, he actually even referred to it as treason, because he's very concerned about who is actually there. He did say that Somebody ought to go and download that CBP One app. That's what it's called. And go through it. Look at it step by step by step. Figure out how do you apply for amnesty here and what happens. Because that's a lot of planes, he said, and a whole lot of airports and a whole lot of people, 320,000. And we don't really know who they are or where they are right now. So he went on to say, hey, you know what? This could be treason. This is an act of treason for it. Now, you know, whether that is, we can, the politics of it are what they are. And I realize the rhetoric is really heated, but I understand why he feels this way. I feel this way. I talked to a wonderful, brilliant conservative investor just last night, and we were talking about this, and he's like, I want to sue him. I want to sue the federal government because those are my taxpayer dollars that they are using. And this is a program that was not approved by everyone. And then they didn't even bother to tell the cities themselves that these individuals were coming in. It seems, frankly, really wrong on multiple, multiple, multiple levels. And so if they're sneaking around and doing things like this, is it because this was Joe's plan all along? Can we go back to that sound from the debate? You know, the one where he told us that the migrants had surged the border and he would welcome that? Wow.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Well, that's what happened. Joe, you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. And now Americans are in a really tricky spot. Such a tricky spot that you look at the city of New York, for example. I mean, Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, she's like, wait a second, because remember those people that beat up the New York City police officers? A bunch of them got off scot-free. I mean, they were able to walk without bail. And she's like, this isn't right. I mean, when you have Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, saying, we can't be a sanctuary city anymore because this stuff isn't right. Well, you got yourself a little bit of a problem. Here's Kathy Hochul. She's actually saying now that they're going to put a bunch of police officers on the subway stations, which they should, by the way, and they should have done long ago. Of course, I don't know how many police officers, because nobody wants to be a police officer anymore. Who would want that gig after Black Lives Matter? In the summer of 2020. Anyway, the governor of New York saying they got to do something.
Point one. I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transits. They'll start seeing them at the tables, making sure that weapons are not being brought in, working in concert with our New York State Police, as well as our NYPD. Because no one heading to their job or to visit family or to go to a doctor appointment should worry that the person sitting next to them possesses a deadly weapon.
Well, you know, when you're bringing in gang members and you're not vetting everybody, you might have a few problems along the way. A lot of problems. You know, look, it's a problem for small business owners. It's something that I know is keeping the folks up at Job Creators Network up overnight because they're like, wait a second, we got to fix this. I mean, you think about all the small business owners that get affected by this, by the theft. I mean, this is a big deal right now, what's going on all across the country. The theft, for goodness sakes, you go into any drugstore anywhere right now. I mean, I was in Ulta, which is like a makeup store out in the suburbs, and you can't even try the perfumes or any of the makeup like you used to be able to do. I mean, that was kind of their big thing, right? Like you could like see things and look at them. Everything's locked up. Everything is locked up. And then in New York City, everything is locked up. And so they're locking it up because they have a crime problem. Small business owners, what do they do? I mean, think about what they've got to take on right now. And you think about the shoplifting that's happening. You think about the threats to their employees, to themselves, and they've got a bad situation. So Job Creators Network, another fantastic group I just want to give a shout out to. Join JCN. You should go there, especially if you're a small business owner, because they're looking out for small business owners like you, and there's a ton of resources for you. And I'm a small business owner now myself, so I like JCN a lot. JoinJCN.com. Go check it out. They're all over the country, by the way. Every little nook and cranny, they are out there looking to protect small business owners. So again, lots of resources. resources from every perspective. We got tax season coming up, so take a look at it for that reason as well. JoinJCN.com, our good friends over there. I also just want to give a shout out because so many of you, thank you. This is a live show. I think you like my dress. It's a shiny one. Anyway, I appreciate the compliments, so thank you for saying that. I do feel pretty good right now. Very, very good. And I credit some of why I feel so good, I think, to the fact that I am taking these little veggie and fruit capsules by Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is a terrific company. If you haven't heard of them, I encourage you to go to their website. They've been around for about, well, at least 20 years. Because they've had just enormous success stories for the last 20 years. It was started by a doctor. You can read the whole history there online at balanceofnature.com. And they have what I like and what I've been taking for the last several months, which are the fruits and veggie capsules. And I just feel better. I feel more clear-headed. I appreciate the compliments on the looks, and I think that it has something to do with making sure that I'm getting all my nutrients. A lot of good things going on there because they're allergen-free. They have no gluten, which in my family is an issue, not for me, but for other members of the family. So that is important as well. Take a look. I mean, you know, there's so many things out there, and you just have to be, I think, thoughtful about what you ingest and what you put in your body. And you want to make sure that you are getting your nutrients all the time. So it's balanceofnature.com. And I get a special discount for you guys. The biggest discount you're going to find. I think it's the biggest discount. If it's not, let me know. We'll fix that. But it's 35% off. So go check it out. 1-800-246-8751 is their phone number. You can call them and talk to them directly about it. 1-800-246-8751. And use that discount code. Discount code Trish. T-R-I-S-H. So we've been talking about Joe Biden and the fact that he's the guy and Donald Trump is the guy. And they're sad because Nikki Haley's not going to make it, but I don't know why they thought she would. I guess because they just live in la-la land. But the anchors over at CNN, they're kind of having a tough time. I mean, we know MSNBC is having a tough time, of course. But CNN was sort of in real time, you could just see the faces dropping as they were getting in these new numbers. There was a New York Times, Siena poll that came out this week, and it was being delivered on CNN. And, well, I don't think the hosts were too happy. Take a look.
These are the numbers that are troubling for the president. Here's one from the new New York Times Siena College poll. Is President Biden too old to be an effective president? Among all voters, 73% say yes, 25% say no. Here's the troubling part. Even in his own party, the president needs big Democratic turnout in the fall. More than half, 56% of Democrats say they think he's too old to be an effective president. 43% say no. So that is one challenge for the president as he runs out the primary season, as he gives that big speech Thursday night. Address that. The problems are deeper for the president. Again, he is the incumbent president. 24% of Americans say the country's on the right track. Two-thirds say it is not. 65% say the country is on the wrong track as the president prepares to deliver his State of the Union address. One more. Incumbents are often judged by their approval rating. You start to get 8 months out from an election, that's a problem. That's the number the president has to change. 36% approve of his performance right now in office, 61% disapprove. That means a lot of Democrats.
Ooh. Yeah. In other words, I don't think there's anybody that approves of him right now. I talked to a lot of Democrats, and they're not happy. No one's happy. I mean, that's just the reality. And I told you it was going to be Carter 2.0. I told you. You know what I said back before this guy got elected? I said that there's just no way because his policy isn't strong enough. And I am such, I mean, I may not look it, but I am a dork when it comes to policy. I'm very wonky and I can wonk out with the best of them. And I love reading tax policy. I mean, sorry, and talking Fed policy, but I like that stuff. I really do. And I can tell that this guy was a lightweight. I could tell. I'm like, he has no actual policy chops and he doesn't have people around him with actual policy chops. In other words, he's got a bunch of politicians. To think that you put Jennifer Granholm in as your energy secretary, a woman who's a failed MSNBC anchor for that matter, and the former governor of Michigan, my goodness, he can't do the job. But rather than admit that he can't do the job, no, MSNBC, a woman named Joy Reid over there, who's just really quite something, she said it's not that he couldn't do the job, it's just, it's all Trump's fault. Of course, let's go back to the well. Let's blame Donald Trump again. Watch her.
Donald Trump had one job.
He had one crisis. He's saying, oh, all of these things were perfect. You had one crisis, bruh. It was called the pandemic. And you know what you did? You bollocksed it completely. You did so poorly at managing your sole crisis. The one hard thing you had to do, the reason he doesn't look old like Biden looks older, the presidency ages you when you do the job. Obama went gray because he was doing the work. Donald Trump looks the same as when he ran because he was playing golf the whole time. His one job
you think
was
that
to
hair color's natural?
But the reality is he had one job, manage this crisis. And he messed it up so badly that they had to do the stimmy. People love the stimmy. Why did he have to do the stimmy? Because a million bodies are in the ground.
It was
because
Democrats.
Of how poorly he managed an airborne
virus. It was the
Democratic
plan.
No. They didn't have to do the stimmy. Trust me. That was all Biden. In fact, Biden, he's the one that sent out the third stimulus check. And it was under Biden's leadership that the House, together with the Senate, they just put forth all kinds of stimulus money. And it was under Biden's leadership when Jerome Powell, his chairmanship at the Federal Reserve was about to be, because, you know, his old boss, Janet Yellen, had just become Treasury Secretary. And I think there was a ton of pressure on him to keep the spigot open, keep on printing, keep on giving us this money. Because otherwise, oh, I don't know, Jerome Powell, you might have been out of a job. I mean, that I don't know that that was being communicated, but I was sitting there saying, why would he do this? Why would he do this? Why would he do this? You know you're going to get inflation. Hey, and if you don't want to take my word, go listen to Larry Summers, okay? Larry Summers was telling you were going to get inflation. But he did it anyway. So you had the massive spending out of Congress. You had massive stimulus checks, third time from Joe Biden. And you had Jerome Powell and his massive giveaway with his printing money. So what did you get? You got inflation. And then you don't have a team that knows how to handle it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, they just want to make it worse. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, we're going to hear tomorrow night. We're going to hear all about how we need more student loan debt relief in the form of giveaways, because somehow it's your fault that Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sheila, Sue, and Suzanne decided to take out massive loans to study gender studies. I mean, it's not. I'm going to tell you that. It's not. It is on everybody to pay their own way. That's part of what has made this country a success for so many years. And you want to forget about that and then, I guess, turn the big military complex into the big educational complex, because that's what it would be, right? You're going to just allow this forgiveness of all these loans while all of these tuitions just keep going up, 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 and away. You wonder why they have outpaced inflation so much. It's because of all the darn government subsidies. So, Joy, you can blame Donald Trump all you want, but the blame goes entirely, entirely on Joe Biden, Joe Biden only. Well, Joe Biden's team. I mean, which includes Jennifer Granholm and Blinken and, oh, that energy czar who's going to be retiring. I'm going to get to him in a minute. But before I do, you can understand why Donald Trump wants to debate. Like, he's chomping at the bit. He wants to go and debate Joe Biden, because, like, who wouldn't? I mean, that's like easy peasy. I mean, Joe Biden wouldn't even do the Super Bowl interview. Remember, like, the easy peasy interview that you do after the Super Bowl? Well, I can see why. I mean, he can't walk. He can't think. He can't talk. He gets distracted. Even when he went on and did one of those late shows, same thing happened again. He started to lose his train of thought. And so I think that Donald Trump senses this weakness. He has to be careful not to overplay it, because you don't want people feeling bad. You don't want people feeling bad. I think that kind of happened last time with Biden. So you don't want to do that. But he does know that he's going to be able to dance circles around him, certainly intellectually and physically, if he's on the debate stage. So he's pushing for this. Here's what he wrote on Truth Social, his company. He wrote that it is important for the good of our country that Joe and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people. Therefore, I am calling for debates anytime, anywhere, any place. He's like, any anchor, anywhere, I will do a debate. And of course, you know that Joe Biden wants absolutely nothing to do with this. And you know what they're going to tell us? Well, I think The View already has. Oh, we can't legitimize him. We can't. I'm sorry, guys. He is the nominee for the GOP. You can't legitimize him. Are we going to go back to the days when you couldn't put up a Trump sign on campus because kids might be traumatized? Here is my former colleague over at Fox News, Peter Ducey, who's just, he's just awesome. He's like totally giving it to KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, one of the worst press secretaries in the history. I mean, again, ragtag team. bad, bad team all around. So he's saying, hey, you know, is this debate going to happen? Watch her response. She's not loving this.
Now that the field is down to two, is President Biden going to commit to a debate with Donald Trump?
That's something for the campaign to speak to.
Well, we know when the debates are going to be. We know where they're going to be. Is he going to go?
You should speak to the campaign.
In 2020, once it got down to one-on-one, Joe Biden said, I can hardly wait to debate him. How about now?
I'm going to sound like a broken record. You should reach out to the campaign.
I have a feeling the campaign will say no, 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 no. Because he can't, ladies and gentlemen, he can't. I mean, how sad is that? Nothing that he wanted to get done has gotten done. I mean, everything that could have possibly gone wrong has gone wrong. I can't even believe it. Like, how could it all go this wrong? It just keeps getting worse. I mean, even poor John Kerry, who came in as the climate czar, he's frustrated. He can't get any of his stuff done. Heck, he's going back to the swamp to make some money. Listen to him here.
I intend to not move away from this fight while I'm leaving the job that I'm in today. I believe I'm going to liberate myself to actually be more engaged in the transition itself, trying to accelerate bringing the capital to the table, bringing the partnerships that are necessary. It's labor intensive. It takes people on the ground. But we have to create the bankable deals that will excite that capital so we can begin to grow in a different direction. And we will wind up with a world that is safer, that is more prosperous, that is cleaner and healthier. And no one should doubt that that's the other side of this journey of transition. It's positive. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to embrace.
Oh, John. Wow. So he didn't really get anything done at all. In fact, the Biden administration is completely scaling back. That's the word on the street on their whole EV push. So John Kerry, you completely failed. Just like Blinken, you completely failed. Just like Jennifer Granholm, you completely failed. Just like Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, you completely failed. I mean, the whole darn lot of you. And Pete Buttigieg, Transportation Secretary, how many planes are flying out of the sky? You've all failed. You've failed so badly. Why would anybody give you another shot? I certainly have no intention of doing that. I don't think you guys do either. Anyway, a quick shout out. Again, go check out 76 Research. It is, it's something I've been working on for, well, a while now, a long time. And I really want you to get, if nothing else, the free newsletter, okay? Like, make sure you sign up for that. I think you'll love it. And there's a lot of good information there, just in terms of helping you think about your future, how to plan for your future. Rob, my very, very dear friend of many years, very simpatico with all of us in terms of how he thinks about things. Go over there. It's 76research.com. And our tagline there is think independently, invest intelligently. Okay, because this is your future. So get all the other people out of the way. Do this for yourself. Be informed. Make the right decisions and don't let all the noise coming from the mainstream media, by the way, financial networks, I've worked for all of them, or from the banks themselves or any of the money managers or the, you know, the people hanging up their shingles. Get the real research that's going to help you make long-term decisions for your future. So 76research.com. It is mine and Rob's. We own it together, 50-50, all independently financed, independently founded. So we're not taking anything from anyone. And there's something kind of nice about that, right? It's why I like being over here with all of you guys. Just being on my own without a network and without the strings attached, I think it would be really hard to go work for anyone else. Seeing what I've seen, learning what I've learned. Hey, a great shout out to all of you. I see so many familiar people there, and Leslie and Don and everybody. And thank you for all those thumbs up. It does matter. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. And make sure you pass the word along. We're growing and growing and growing. Gosh, we're almost 220,000 here on YouTube. And I'm over on Rumble and I'm on Facebook. And we're going to start going live on Twitter as well. I think we should, right? Okay, I'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.